Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a real-life medium? Then this is the podcast for you. In this show, you'll learn how to open your heart to spirit, hear adventures I've experienced as an award-winning psychic medium and teacher. Plus, I'm going to give you some psychic information and insight into what the future holds for our increasingly crazy world. Tune in every Friday and get ready to connect to the other side. I'm Jen, and I'll be your guide starting right now.
Welcome back to the Singing Medium podcast. Oh, I got to check myself. The Spirit Mentor podcast. That's right. It is formerly known as the Singing Medium podcast. I just talked about this yesterday. I have changed my name so many times in the last 10 years. Let's see. Let me go through. If you have known me for the last 10 years since I quit my teaching job and I started doing this business full time, let's go through the name. So the very first name, I believe, was, I want to say Reiki Moms, or it was Jen Abra Spiritual Medium and Reiki Master. I think it was one of those. And then it became the Singing Medium because I used to get all my information as a song lyric. So that's why I called myself the Singing Medium. And then I went on and did some fundraisers for large audiences, and I would just sing with the microphone terribly. So that was back then. And then what happened after Elevate Her Soul came next, and now we're at the Spirit Mentor. So kind of an evolving process over the last 10 years, I would say. I'm not defending myself. I feel like, you know, most people keep their original business name. But for me, I have always gone with the flow and what I kind of felt like as I evolve on this journey here and as my work evolves as well as a psychic and a medium. And if you only follow me on Instagram or TikTok, which I guess are the only places I'm very active these days, I used to be a huge Facebook Live girl. I would go Facebook Live and every night pretty much, people get sick of me and I would do these readings on there. But as of these days, I would say TikTok and Instagram. Instagram is the biggest one for me. The biggest pull, I guess. Not necessarily the most followers, but TikTok is just sort of secondary to kind of my pull, I guess, if you will. And I'm pretty sure that TikTok lives are the thing to do. I haven't done any of those yet, but I will get to that eventually if you follow me over on TikTok. And I forget where I was going with this, but evolving. We have to evolve. And today what I want to talk about, which I haven't done a lot actually or any of that on social media, is my trip to Peru, my second trip to Peru. And it's kind of, I can see kind of why it's been a while since I have been able to put it into words. It's called the integration process, which I still feel like I'm currently in. If you ever sat with plant medicine, you kind of understand what I mean by integration period. And I will explain that for the listeners who are not sure what the heck I'm talking about. So when you go on a massive spiritual journey using a plant medicine, sacred plant medicine, such as ayahuasca, mushrooms, or huachuma, which is what I sat with, the cactus, sacred cactus, in the middle of the Andes Mountains, in the middle of nowhere, 8-hour bus ride overnight, literally the smallest little town you've ever seen. Imagine like this, like really, like, I don't know how to explain it, donkeys everywhere. And when you go, had such massive experiences, massive internal energetic shifts and massive internal healing, physical healing, you go through this massive process. And what happens is you need time to sort of process. So integration basically is a fancy word for processing emotions, processing experiences that are quite profound and life-changing, transformative. And so some would say that the integration process is actually more important than the actual plant medicine experience. I would say they are equally important, but that's my opinion from my personal experiences. And I'm going to tell you the story and just bear with me because, you know, you may yourself want to, you may be drawn to doing something similar to what I've done, or you may have already done this. Some people go to the middle of the jungle in Costa Rica and they go in a hut with these other people or these, you know, sacred places and sit with shamans and purge their guts out and go through this massive process of healing And it's a lot. It's a lot for a human being to experience. And I would say, disclaimer, if you're not ready, do not. It massively affects your mental health, your brain. It physically affects your brain. It physically affects your body. It can change your body, can change your mind, it can change your soul, it can change everything. But again, I always say, if you're not called to it, then please do not engage. As always, consult professionals, which could be yourself. Your professional soul knows what to do, which has been the case for me personally for the last 5 year journey of me sitting with the plants. But this particular journey, I would say, I've never sat with Wachuma before, and Wachuma actually means cut off your head. That's what it translates into. And Wachuma is basically San Pedro, okay? So there's ayahuasca. So I've sat with ayahuasca 3 or 4 times. I've obviously sat with the mushrooms because you guys have seen my predictions come out of that. And then I wanted to try San Pedro, which I've never sat with before, and I was drawn to it, or it called me. So every plant has a consciousness. It has its own separate consciousness, if you will. And Wachuma was calling me, and I answered it in a very crazy way. So here we go. Here's the story of what happened in Peru and sort of what's sort of happening now, I guess. Okay, so just bear with me because it is kind of tricky to put into words what occurred there, but I want to take you through the whole journey. And okay, so let's start at the beginning. So with everything that I do, and you may not be like this, but with everything that I do, I choose things or make decisions based upon my soul. My soul's like, oh my God, we need to do this right now. And it's like an inner knowing, it's a pull, it's more than a pull, it's like a magnet or a vortex, you know, sort of, yes, this is it. You must do this. It's like a, it's hard to explain, but if you're very tuned into yourself, you will know what I mean. And I saw my shaman friend, who I have been working with for many years, post this particular Peru trip. Now, this would be my second trip to Peru in a different location. So the first time I ever went, this is where I met my shaman friend. My first experience was in the jungle, the Amazon jungle, the middle of the Amazon jungle. We didn't do ayahuasca then. We were supposed to, but there were some issues, so we did not do it then. We did it when we returned home. And so this would be my second trip to Peru, but this was in the Andes Mountains, like I said, in the middle of nowhere, like literally in the middle of nowhere. 8-hour bus ride. So we landed in Lima, and then we traveled to Miraflores, and we stayed at a hotel there overnight, a day and a half, I guess. And then we went on the bus at nighttime. This bus, it's quite a nice bus actually. With a coach bus, you could lay down, but you could lay down. It's not very comfortable. And it's 8 hours. 8 hours on this bus. Okay. So it's fine for the first part where you're leaving Lima and you're driving God knows where because it's dark. You can't see out the windows. You have no idea where this bus is taking you. At nighttime in this bus station with thousands of people waiting to get on these separate buses. And we arrive at this little town. I'm going to double check the name of it, but we arrive in this really, really remote town in the Andes Mountains. The next morning, of course, we're exhausted and dirty and gross. And then we get to this hostel, and it's not a fancy hotel. So this girl likes fancy hotels, okay? I didn't even ask beforehand. I didn't ask any questions. So this is one of the things about how I make my decisions. I don't ask questions. I'm just like, I see the thing and I'm like, yeah. Let's do it. I don't ask questions. I don't like where, how much. I don't ask how much. I don't ask where we're going. I don't ask, you know, I just trust. I trust spirit. I trust my inner knowing. So we get there, we're in a hostel, and I was like, okay. And there's no power, there's no hot water for your girl who loves like luxury places and, you know, warm running water, hot water, and electricity. And so that's fine. So we have a shower in the cold water. It's fine, no power. And I think we stayed up. We stayed up like it's not good to have a nap. You just go straight through. And I'm a napper, so that was kind of hard for me. But anyways, as we get going, I can't remember if it was the next day. I think it was the next day. So there was three ceremonies that we were going to do over the course of 7 days. I think we were there for 8 days. And we traveled to by a van, and we travel about 10 minutes up the hill to this sanctuary, I guess, or this place that has been set up with, especially for the plant medicine ceremonies, with cactus everywhere, and there's llamas, alpacas on the hill, and you are sitting around this fire, and you have your own hut. So they're like, pick your hut. This hut is like pretty small. Like I would say it's smaller than a small bedroom, and you go in this hut. Like imagine a hut. Close your eyes and visualize a hut. That's literally where we were. There's like maybe 10 huts in this circle. It's very sacred land where we are up in the mountains, and across the river from this area, the outdoor area where we are staying for the next few days in and out, is a temple, a sacred temple across the way. So fast forward our first night, I can't remember which type of Wachuma we did. They do different things. So there was one strain of it that we took, and we took way too much. Like the man running the organization sort of maybe thought that we were ready to go big or go home. So all of us were very, like, I'm just gonna say we were all fucked up. We were literally fucked up. Even my shaman and her partner were screwed up. And the horrible thing was that they took us in a van, so we're all messed up. We're all fucked up on this Wachuma, and we go into a van. Okay, great. Feeling super sick. We couldn't walk to the temple because the water was too high. So I guess that's what they normally do. They take a group to walk across the bridge, and it was too high, so we had to take a van. And so we get there, and all I remember is the medicine hit me, and I go, they take us near this river, like there's like a cliff almost in the trees. And they're like, hey, go sit down here by yourself for a few minutes. And literally, I wandered off because I'm fucked up. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I literally could have jumped into the river and be like, bye, gonna see you later, because you're so messed up. You have like no sense of logic. And so I just sat down on the ground. I don't remember if I had the tarp or not. I just bawled my eyes out. I just started bawling. I didn't know what I was crying about. I just let it all out. I don't know how long we were in this area for, but then I remember Leticia came and she got me. She's like, okay, we're going over here now. And then we start walking around this temple, and there's like, I had no idea there was other people going to be there. Like it's like an open public space, and we're all fucked up walking around, like we're losing our mind, and we're crying and screaming, and some of us are just fine. I remember kept saying over and over, "How are you with the other participants?" I'm like, "How are you guys okay? I am not okay." Trying to throw up, I was trying to make myself throw up because I wanted all this yuckiness out of me. I wanted the pain out, and it just wouldn't come out. The beautiful other shaman was. Spanish woman was like, okay, make a circle in the dirt and just come on, let it. I'm like, I can't. And everyone's like, we're just waiting for Jen to puke. And it was horrible. Okay. It was like, I know it sounds negative, but this was like one of the worst possible scenarios that I've ever gone. The most uncomfortable thing I've ever gone through, and the most painful thing I've ever gone through, and the scariest thing I've ever gone through. Then I couldn't walk. Like, I couldn't walk. I needed help. Yo, I need help. So someone had to help me walk around this thing. We're going here. They kept saying, we're going to the car. I remember they kept saying, oh, we're going back to the car. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I probably sound like an idiot. They're probably like, oh, Jen thinks we're going to the car, but we're not. We're going on this journey around this temple. So good luck with this, fucked up Jen. And I couldn't walk. And they're like, we're going to the car. I'm like, where are we going? We're going to the car. And I'm like, after about the third time, the third stop in this temple, and I'm like, you guys are lying. You guys are a bunch of fucking liars. We're not going to the temple. I don't know why they thought it would make my life easier. It didn't. I was crying. And we get up to this. There was this Russian dude with us, and I don't know what his role was. He had a staff. He was like, I think he was trying to look after us or manage the energies and transmute any negative energies for coming in. I think that's what his role was. And I forget his name, but he was ended up being a cool dude. We end up in this, I don't know how to explain this nook in a mountain or the side of the hill. And there was these portals you could go in. Or these little enclaves you could jump in, and these like scary small tunnels, and he's like, go in. And I'm like, not in your fucking life. And I hung on to my friend that was with me for dear life. I'm like, please help me, please help me, please help me. Like I kept over and over, please help me. And I felt bad because she's trying to have her own experience, and I'm clinging to her like, please don't leave me. And we go through this horrible process, very uncomfortable, and I refused to go into these portals. And we ended up going back in the van finally, thank God. Once I saw that van, I was like, oh my, I'm still fucked up. I'm way more fucked up than we're all fucked up. And I remember saying, aren't you guys, how are you guys okay? They're like, we're not okay. I'm like, you guys seem okay to me. So we get in this van, and I swear to God, this van took us to a different portal dimension. Like, I swear to God. The man who was running this ceremony was in the passenger seat with a staff in his hand. And I looked at him, and he looked like Stan Lee from the MCU. I'm like, oh my God, Stan Lee is taking us to this different dimension. That it was like trippy. It's like I was like seeing casinos on the side of me. We're actually driving past these casinos and I was seeing all these things and the guy turned into a frog. And it was like I was like really actually scared for my life. Like honestly, scared for my life. I had to keep reminding myself that there's people that I know here. Okay. Cause I would never have done this by myself. So we get back to the huts. And I don't remember, like, I felt so sick the whole night. Anyways, that was the worst of it the first night. Okay. And then by the second morning, we took a day off. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing that again. I was like so mad. I was so pissed off. I was like, I am never, you can't make me go back to this place. Like, I'm not doing it. Anyways, of course, I went back, but I was very resistant and crying all day long because I didn't want to do this. I knew it was going to be really hard. And I think this, I'm pretty sure the second night, the second strain or the second type of cactus Wachuma that we sat with had Medusa energy to it. And so leading up to that day, I believe it was the second, I can't remember the timeline of it because it was so weird. But during this whole time we're staying in this little town, they're having this celebration and I forget what it's called. I'll look it up, but there was thousands of people in this little town. In their garments and celebrating, but there was these, it's gonna sound horrible, these asshole kids. So part of the ceremony is you throw water on people. So you're walking around. If you want to go for breakfast, you have to run because these kids are gonna come and throw this dirty buckets of water on you and they don't give a shit. And so I remember like being my last, it must have been the third night, but getting my hair, they was a parade and we went one way and I got stuck in this parade and they throw flour on your face and they don't give a shit, these locals. They don't give a shit. They attacked me. They took flour in their hand. I hope it was flour. And they smacked me in the face like 10 times. It was like someone was punching me in the face and I was like being attacked. I'm like, get off me, get off me. And they're like, they're laughing. They don't give a shit. I don't know how I got out of there. So I'm covered in flour. Then these kids come around with these dirty buckets of water. So I'm caked. Now my hair is caked like glue because I've got flour and water, if you know that makes paste. So my hair literally looks like Medusa. This is one of my clues. I was like, okay, everything's connected. I didn't really understand this. But then once I got to the second night or the third night, I understood that everything was connected with Medusa. My hair literally looked like Medusa. And so we get there, second night is not as strong medicine because we gave him crap. We're like, hey, dude, we can't handle this strong medicine. You need to tone it down a little bit. So he's like, okay, we'll just take as much as you want. So as we're doing the ceremony, drinking it together, he has the dirtiest cup you've ever seen. It's like a shot glass, but it has never been cleaned. Literally never been cleaned. And he's not cleaning it in between us. So we're all drinking from the same dirty cup that has never been washed in the history of his ceremonies. And so we take a little bit less and I refuse to go to the temple that night. I was like, nope. I'm staying on the grounds here. I will pee in this dirty hut. I will pee my pants. The first night I peed my pants almost, I think, because I couldn't make it to the bathroom, which was lightly used the word bathroom, an outhouse that was really far from my hut. So I peed on a rock. Yeah, I remember being like, oh my God, I think I peed myself. Like there was no, it was like no control. It was way too much. and anyway, so these ceremonies went on for three nights total. I would say that the last night changed my life. It's a blur. Second or third night changed my life. I remember everyone sort of hanging out by the fire and kind of like a party scene where they're eating Pringles. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. Like, I want to be in my hut and like, I want to do the hard work. So I go in the hut and I stay there for, I don't know how, God knows how long. It's pretty fucking long. I'm in there. And the unbelievable things that happened to me in this hut, you and there's actually I have physical proof of what happened to me, which is rare, right? So basically, I was a through the medicine, through the work, through the crying, through and leading up to this purge of crying, I had not cried for 6 months, and I'm a crier. Like I cry at everything, right? Someone says you're a you know what on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying. How could you say that about me? I'm so nice. So. In this hut, I'm crying and crying and crying and crying. And thank God, I actually felt better after 8 hours of crying. But in the process, I was able to forgive every single human in my life, here or gone, past or now. I forgave myself, which I believe is the most important thing, because I've done some shit that is not good, some unspeakable acts I've done in the past, like we all have skeletons in our closet, and I forgave myself because that was pretty heavy. I forgave everyone, like everyone. It was so easy. And I was thinking during this process of forgiving everyone, I don't know how people who are not sitting with medicine who would be able to forgive someone. I really don't. I mean, sure, you can forgive someone to a certain extent, but we're hanging on to so much shit. I was shown that we're all filled with black goo or black tar, mostly in our stomach. We hold on to anger, hate, rage, judgment, racism, terror, fear, angst. All these negative emotions actually create this black tar. I saw it physically, like a black tar, and we're all holding on to it, right? No wonder we're fucking miserable. We're hanging on to a bit of black goo in our body that we can't get rid of. And I was told that everyone has this, right? You can do as much work as you want, but you're never going to empty yourself of this. But luckily for me, I was able to empty some of it and I could not puke. So I have a huge fear of vomiting. I will do everything in my power to not vomit. I will hold it in. This time I was like, come on, puke. Let's just puke it out. Let's just get this all out of me, because I knew this black tar had to come out physically out of my body either way, either up or down. And didn't come out either way. And I was like, oh my God, I just want this out of me. Like, I don't want this hate. I don't want this anger. I don't want this judgment. I don't want these negative emotions. I don't want this sadness anymore. I want it out of me. And it would not come out. Okay. So then I realized I'm trying to control things. I like to control shit, right? Like many of you can sort of feel that in your soul. You also like to control shit. Don't tell me that you don't. No, I surrender. No. We catch ourselves like, oh crap, I'm trying to control shit again. Because our soul knows that that's not the way to do things. Our soul is to allow people to be who they are, to have their moods, to have their own, you know. Anyways, you know what I mean. But through this whole process, I remembered so many things. And it was like I went through a death process. And I remember after going through all this crying and all these images going through my mind of, you know, my relationships with my kids and what was going to happen with them in the future. And, you know, relationship with family members, with people in the past. Why did I meet them? Why did this happen? I got to see the truth of everything. I literally could see the whole truth. It was like the blinders came off. Again, there's no way I could have done this without the medicine. No. And I remember being filled with light in this hut. I was literally filled with light. Like God came into the hut. I was like, I'm going to fill you with so much fucking light that your old self is going to die. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's do it. Let's die. So I came here. So I traveled across the world on an airplane to and sat on a bus ride for 8 hours on this rickety bus that almost went over the cliff a couple times, probably, maybe, I don't know. And just try to heal all of this. Like, it's just time to heal this. And so there's a picture of me, which I didn't know was being taken. So the partner of my shaman who was there, he was sitting at the fire at the time. And from his vantage point of my hut, he could see straight into my hut, which is pretty dark. He probably couldn't see actually in there what I was doing. All he was going to see was I was crying my face off. But he happened to take a picture for some reason. He just intuitively thought he was going to take a picture. And this picture is me, the true me. It's literally me all being light. I'm completely lit up. It's a silhouette of me. It looks like I'm actually writing something. And so he shows me this picture the next day and he goes, oh, so I got a picture of you last night, but you had your light on. And I'm like, dude, I don't have a light. I don't have a flashlight. I don't have an overhead light. There's no light in there. I didn't have my phone. So there was no light, no physical explanation for that picture for me to look like this. But it was proof of the work that I was doing, which made me feel better. I was like, I was literally filled with light. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and I heard in myself, welcome back, Jen. I was like, yes, like the true me. But then, okay, so we go through all these things, beautiful healing. We get back to Lima the day before we're to fly out. And of course, that's when I start feeling sick, right? The night before our flight, we go out for dinner. I'm like, oh, I don't feel very good. I don't really want to eat this dinner. I made myself eat dinner. And then we get back. I'm like, oh God. As the night went on, I was like, oh, I do not feel good. I had to get up at like the ass crack of dawn, like 4 o'clock in the morning. The whole night I was sick. It was coming out then. I'm like, oh, this is terrible timing because I'm about to get on a plane for 12 hours and I really don't want to be doing this on the plane. So I actually had learned a new, they showed me a new healing. There was a healing that I learned. Don't know what it's called, but it's not Reiki at all. It's complete opposite of Reiki. And they taught me a new healing. So I did that on myself and it sort of eased it up for a bit. So I get on the plane and I'm hopped up on gravel and Imodium and I sleep most of the ride. And then we get home and then Chad's there and I'm like, I don't feel good. He's like, oh no. So we get home. He happens to have to work the next day. So he's a firefighter. So he's going to work the next day. And I know the night before when he's lying there, I'm like, this dude shouldn't go to work. Like something bad's going to happen. And speaking of something bad happening, the second ceremony night, I was sitting on a rock with one of the participants and I looked at her and I said, something bad is going to happen to both of us. And she's like, oh, don't say that. Nothing bad's going to happen to us. I'm like, yeah, it is. But I wasn't told what it was. And so what ended up happening when we got back to Toronto, back home, the next day I had to be rushed to emergency. And so that was the bad thing, obviously. And then this other participant, but I said that something bad was going to happen to us, both of us, just her and I, a few days later, she got admitted to the hospital as well. So I guess we're still working then. But anyways, we get home and my husband's working and I was like, so the day we left, the day I left for Peru, I fell on the driveway. I slipped on the ice and my dog went flying, carrying him to the car to go get tea. And I flat on my back and I have massive back pain, massive migraine. So it was, man, we managed it on the trip. But when I got home, the migraine, I wouldn't even call that a migraine. I called it like someone taking an axe and cutting open your head. So it was worse than a migraine. I don't know what it was. But I ended up, I was desperate. So I called this random, have you heard of this? These, you can call a nurse, quote unquote, a nurse to come to your house and give you drugs. Like, I don't know. I was desperate. So I called this lady $500 later. She's like, okay, give me $500 and I'm going to hook you up to an IV. And I'm like, I'm desperate. I don't care. Give me something for this headache. I don't care. She comes into my room at like 10 o'clock at night. I'm totally out of it because I'm in so much pain. I'm bawling my eyes out. She takes down my picture on my wall in my bedroom and she hooks up an IV to the nail of the wall, gives me an IV and says, okay, when you're done, take it out yourself. I was like, I'm paying you $500 for you to leave me here. She goes, oh, don't worry, you're going to feel better in 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, weird lady who came in my house and isn't a nurse and gave me this weird drug. It didn't work. So it's like midnight or maybe 11 o'clock and I call it to my son. I'm like, you got to take me to Emerge. I can't handle this. So, and I'm like, I only go to Emerge if I'm dying. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. So he drives me there. Poor guy waited like all night for me. Then he had to go to work. And I'm like, just leave me here. So they didn't know what was wrong with me. They did all these tests. Like, we can't, finally, they gave me drugs. And I'm not a drug person, but I was welcoming these drugs because I was in so much pain. So they worked for a bit and they would wear off. Then they want to do all these tests. They want to do a spinal tap. They want to do chest x-ray, which, hello, it's not my chest that's the problem, but they're like, oh, you came back from Peru, so you are going to be in quarantine. They end up quarantining me in hazmat suits and all this good stuff because they don't know what's wrong with me. And the pain is excruciating. So they move me upstairs. Then they're like, oh, we're going to move you to a different hospital to be admitted. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I knew as soon as I went to the other hospital in a bigger city, I was screwed. Like, I just knew it was going to be a problem. So, this is part of the healing process. When you do something like this, it's quite possible you're going to get really sick because you've gone through such an energetic shift. Your body reacts to it, and all the emotions come up, and it's going to make you sick, possibly. Your healing can make you sick. And so, they transfer me to this horrible hospital, and guys, I don't know what it's like in the States, but in Canada, I thought it was pretty good, but I was wrong. They admitted me. I got there after dinner, so I had nothing to eat all day long. Get there, and I'm crying, and Chad finally came, and he had to go to work again. It was disaster. And the whole time, they wanted to keep giving me this drug that didn't work. I forget what it was. So finally, when they found something that worked, that got rid of the headache, they thought I had a brain tumor. I'm not kidding. They thought I had a brain tumor. And Chad didn't tell me, but he would drive home every night from the hospital crying because he thought his wife was going to die and have a brain tumor. So they did a couple, they had two MRIs. And they're like, we can't find anything wrong with you. Every test in the book. The neurologist came in. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't look at the, I was, I couldn't look at anything. I was so much pain, crying constantly for like 7 days. I was in there for 7 days. By like the sixth day, they're like, oh, and the nurse would come in, a different nurse would come in. She goes, oh, you just got admitted yesterday. I'm like, dude, I've been here for fucking 7 days. Like, what is wrong with this system? And finally, they're like, yeah, you can go home. And by that time, I was feeling a little better, but they never ever found anything wrong with me. And now, after that, so it wasn't easy. Like, I couldn't integrate what I learned because I literally went from the airport to the hospital and then home again for 2 weeks in bed, right? So, couldn't work, couldn't do anything. So, then I was behind on my work, which I know healing myself was the focus, was the priority, obviously, because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And I learned that very quickly. And so now, so that was March 9th, we got home. What's it now? It's May 6th. So 2 months, roughly 2 months. It's only been 2 months since I came back from Peru and went through all of this. So I haven't had a lot of time to integrate because I jumped back into work too. Because I'm like, oh my God, I have all these clients. I have these classes I need to teach, jump back into work. So my plan was always when I got back from Peru that I was going to go to the Dominican by myself to integrate. Just lie on the beach, do nothing. Well, that didn't happen, but it happened last week. But I ended up bringing my kids. So again, not that they're hard work or anything because they're older, but there wasn't much time to integrate, right? And then I've got people on Instagram yelling at me. So yeah. So we're here. Now we're here, 2 months later, ready to tell the story, hoping that it helps someone, right? Because you may be confused. You're like, I don't know how to heal myself. Okay. Well, the most important thing that needs to happen is you need to meditate. You need to and people say, don't tell me what to do. Okay, well, fine, don't meditate then. But this is what will work. Getting quiet, sitting with yourself. Sit with yourself every single day. You don't know yourself. If you don't know yourself, there's problems, right? You need to really know yourself. And then you'll start to understand what your soul is trying to tell you, the difference between your soul and your mind. There's differences, obviously, and you need to learn the difference between what's a hell yes and what's a fear decision, right? And so you'll just know that the knowing is like, or this calling, you'll get used to this voice going, oh, like Frozen 2, come here, come work with me, come take this plant medicine. This is the answer to your problem, to your, it's a solution to your issues, right? And so that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. And so, you know, highly recommend if you are ready and you are called to it to sit with a plant medicine of your choosing, the one that is calling you, and really heal yourself. We need a lot of healing. I was telling someone last month, I forget who it was, maybe on a podcast, but I said, we don't need any more mediums and psychics. We need more healers and hypnotists. We need people to hypnotize us to help us understand or change our subconscious beliefs, which is the reason why we're having blocks in our life and trouble is because we don't look at our subconscious beliefs, our negative emotions, right? Well, we're all an integral part of this work. All of us work together. I feel like that's kind of where we're going. So it's very important to work on your gifts, to know yourself, to really understand who you really are on a deep soul level. And you will have a little bit of an easier time navigating what we call this life in this crazy world on this time on this planet as we transition from the old world to the new world, not the new world order, hopefully. But I'm going to leave you guys there with that. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to my story about my trip to Peru and how I was able to heal some parts of myself, to forgive people, and hope that you are able to forgive yourself as well, because I can feel it in the comments when people are mad about my dancing. I know that you're not happy. I know that a lot of you need some healing. So I'm going to wish that for you. I hope you guys have an amazing day. And thank you so much for listening to the Spirit Mentor podcast.